What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You've been in a situation when Sonic left, right?
Yeah.
And you were out there protesting. I don't say protesting.
Whatever. But we would do like rallies.
Yeah,
like
rallies.
Save Your Sonic
rallies.
Yeah,
okay. And so I was thinking.
Pretty much the only rally I've ever been a part of. Pep rally.
I was looking at some of the stuff that the Dallas Mavericks fans are doing. And they're like have this tomb outside of the arena.
Yeah.
And they had like a makeshift funeral, it seemed like. It looked like.
Yeah, somebody spent a whole bunch of money on a blue coffin.
Yeah.
And they brought it to the stadium.
And I was like, I've never loved anything like that that wasn't mine.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like a family
member. Yes, I've never loved. Right. I can't say I know what you're going through in a situation like that. I can never understand that part of it. But like, that's why I asked, you've been like that with the Sonics and everything like that. It's never went away. I was like, does this pain ever go away?
I mean, it's not what it was.
Right.
Right. I'm not peeing in people's front yards anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? all except my own. But that's for different reasons.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things because you're right in terms of talking about it in that way. Like people do feel that way about these teams. Like you feel as it's not your wife, it's not your child, it's not your family member, but it's something you care a lot about and you've devoted a lot of time and money and energy and emotion into and all of that. And the worst part is you just have the thing that sucks is we are able to kind of distill reality a lot of times and believe that we have more control or impact on it than we do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We have absolutely none. And it sucks to have it realized like that. It's like, man, went to all these games, spent all this time, rooted for all these people and whatever, and they're just going to leave them? They're just going to leave? They're just going to go over there now?
Right.
But we want them to stay. Well, it doesn't matter. You get $7 billion? No, we don't have that. Well, that guy does, so he's going to take them over there to Oklahoma City. They're going to play over there now. Well, what are we going to do? We'll leave you the Storm. Like, well, that's cool. We're happy to have them. They're really good. Like, because that's what Oklahoma City did. We don't want them. you can leave them here. Like, all right, well, Sue Bird's awesome, and we're really happy to have her. They won a bunch of championships. But we like that team, too.
Right.
Can we you can have the history. Okay, cool. We still have the history. All right, that's good. Can we have the basketball team? The Blazers were like, we'll come do some preseason games in Seattle sometimes. Like, oh, so we can't have anything.
Right.
Okay. No, it's this brutal reality of realizing that as a fan, you don't really ultimately have any control over any of it.
Okay.
It sucks.
All right.
Sucks.
All right.
They can trade your guys. They can sell your team. Yeah, they can do whatever.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'll always refer to you on this because I'm sitting there looking at it like, I think you dumbasses. But again, that's just my perspective of it. But now that's why I bring a guy who's been through this before, because these people are hurt.
They love Luka Doncic.
Yes, they are hurt by this.
And they love Luka.
And it's to a point where they're talking about death threats and all that.
Now, that's crazy.
You need to get an effing life, you damn dork.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying.
I shouldn't have peed in Howard Schultz's front yard either. I'm not proud of that. I shouldn't have done that.
When you get to that extreme of to a point where you're having to do this, are you feeling better about yourself?
Yeah, probably, because you're there with a community of other people right. that okay. are feeling that way, right? Misery loves company. It does. So at okay. least you're going through it. You're channeling that that anger into whatever, like you're having little fake funerals or, you know, we're having our Save Our Sonics rally.
Right.
Save Our Sonics. Save Our Sonics. Can you imagine? I now, like, being so far removed from
it. Are you on the front lines?
Yeah, because I work for the radio station. Right. Like, we'd be on stage broadcasting in front of thousands of people that were there. What were we even doing? Like, were we even raising money? Like, I don't know what we were. We were signing petitions, I guess. What did we think we were going to do? Like, can you imagine being the billionaire that's selling the team, watching these peons gather in city parks and have rallies to save, like, a business asset of yours? You know what I mean? You're like, the guy doesn't even think about it. He's like, I got Starbucks, I got them, I got some jets that, you know what I mean? He's like, this is a stock option to me. Right. I'm selling this thing. Like, what are these people doing in this park? Like, to him, we look like ants in an ant farm.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is also a brutal thing to realize, just like where you sort of rank in the pecking order of things in the ecosystem of sports. Because fans are valuable. Like, fan behavior is crazy and all this kind of stuff. But, like, without fans, there's no economy of
right,
it. Right.
Right.
Like, the 126 million people that watch the Super Bowl on Sunday, that's how they could charge millions of dollars for ads, because those eyeballs, you know, everybody understands the economics of it. So the fans are important as a group, like, as a collective. But one individual, I mean, you know.
Can Trump all
of it. Is it your birthday and you've been coming to games for 30 years? We're going to put your name up on the screen for 10 seconds. Thanks for all you've done. Thanks for the hundreds of thousands of dollars you've given the organization. And then you get your name up on there and you're pumped. You take a picture of it and maybe you get to meet, you know, Michael Cage or something like that, you know? You get to do like a meet and greet with Hersey Hawkins after the game. And then you're happy forever. And then everything's great. You got that Polaroid of you and Hersey Hawkins on the fridge and all the thousands of dollars you spent for them that then just leave 7 years later is all worth it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, it sucks. Sucks. But it's, you know.
It's reality, though.
Yeah, it's reality. It okay. They're supposed to come back, though. They're supposed to bring them back.
We talk about Luka this whole time. I mean, we actually talk about the Sonics.
We've kind of always been talking about the Sonics, Randy.
Yeah.
The whole thing is about the Sonics. All right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Ow!
5 seconds to go. The Hawks are going to win this thing and move ahead of Orlando in the standings. 1 second left, and the horn will sound, and that's it. Final score from Orlando. Hawks 112, and the Magic 106.
Take that, Orlando. The Hawks leapfrogged them in the Eastern Conference standings last night. Scrappy performance. Orlando's a good team. They had a really good defensive plan in the first half. I thought the Hawks made good adjustments. And, I mean, Trey's just big in the fourth quarter.
He's been playing well, when
you need him most. Like, he didn't have a particularly good 9 turnovers last night. Didn't have a particularly good game. But he was really good late. Made that 1-3 when they needed it. Made some free throws. One thing about Trey that I've noticed this year that I think is really something that he's clearly worked on and gotten better at. His left. Finishing it with his left in the paint has really improved. Like, he's got a little left-handed floater that he'll throw up now. He's a both-hands finisher, which he's been decent with it, but he's clearly gotten better with that this season, which is nice to see. And now they've won 3 in a row since the trade deadline, since everyone kind of declared the season over with. They've won 3 in a row.
Well, I think, you know, you're going to have runs like this with this team. I know we said at the beginning of the show, their biggest thing is that the Orlando, and because basically it's 4 through 9 right now, is jockeying for all these different games, 4 games, whatever it is. But all those teams are even and everything like that. So when you're facing those teams like the Orlandos and the Pacers and teams like that, you should be in these games. You know what I mean? You should be able to win these games, but you got to beat teams like Orlando. I mean, they seem to own Orlando lately, and so they got to keep that one up right there. But you can't slip up to the damn Wizards or somebody like that, Buck. I mean, you got to find a way. And I know Mike Conte was on
Raptors at home twice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
you can't have that kind of slippage when your margin for error is not big.
Yeah,
you know, and like Charles Barkley said, and we've been saying since this since the trade deadline is this, like, you tanking makes no sense. Mm-hmm. You know, because the fact is, you don't own your own pick.
Yeah.
So you're just helping out whoever has the pick because they get it.
Right.
And so you got to get to a point where you got to find out, scratch, claw, do whatever you got to do to try and stay as far out of the lottery as you can.
Yeah. And look, I mean, we said this the day after the trade. I personally think they wouldn't have traded DeAndre Hunter if Jalen Johnson wouldn't have gotten hurt, because I think the trajectory of the team is different without Jalen Johnson. I think now you're kind of in that group of, you know, Pistons, Heat, Hawks, Magic, Bulls-ish. They're kind of falling off, though, and they traded everybody, so we'll see how far they fall. I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers catch them. But you're still playing line. Like, with Jalen Johnson, if you could have got some help, you could have passed the Bucks. You could have passed the Pacers. You could have been in the four seed, honestly, going into the playoffs, possibly. Now, trading DeAndre, your roster's not that much worse, but you're kind of still in the same place
as you were.
As you were. Had you kept him, now you just have a few more guys to sort of roll out there as far as Niang, LeVert, and Mann, who all played good last night off the bench. Like, if you would have kept him, you're probably a playing team. With these guys, you're probably a playing team.
Right.
So, like, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And how much of a upgrade was it? Or how much of a downgrade was it?
Which is why I say, like, I don't know.
And it was about
clearing contract space for the summer.
Yes.
That's what it was for.
But we know this.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do with it? That's the biggest thing. I don't want to see the biggest thing I did is go get a backup point guard and somebody's second to string center. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No. Go get your guy. Go get your guy. And until they do that, I mean,
the problem with that, though, is you're right. Until they do that, I mean, also, even if they do, that's not for 6 months. So it's hard for the reaction to be like, wait for 6 months.
And there's
like,
nothing else out there you can do.
They play every night. There's, like, we got to talk about it.
Yeah, and there's nothing else you can do as far as making a move to make this team something that it's not, that mm-hmm. it's going to be for the rest of the season. This is your, and barring, you know, nobody gets injured or anything like that, this is who they are the rest of this season.
And unfortunately, some guys got injured last night. Like Larry Nance Jr. got his knee banged into, and it didn't look good. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, hoping for the best, but we'll see. Vete Krejci came down funny last night. He might be out for a little bit.
Is like the whenever you're up there and you're sliding off the rim like that, and like all that's there is floor.
Yeah,
it hurts
when you jump as high as you can jump.
Yes.
And get bumped in the middle of that. I mean, and you know, there's nothing. All you can do is try to brace.
Yes, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hurts.
That hardwood floor is hard.
Especially when you're coming down like that. Yes. So we don't know how that's going to – so that takes two more bodies off. You know, we're talking about Clint Capella, not saying he's going to come and, you know, go whatever. But why ain't he playing?
Yeah.
I understood the back spasm before the trade deadline. Trade deadline is coming on.
Yeah, but they wouldn't buy him out, you think? You'd buy him out? Would be even the point?
There's a lot of teams that wish they would.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Including the Lakers.
But that doesn't help you, really.
No, that doesn't help you at all. You're doing him a favor.
I mean, I guess
you're doing Clint a favor.
More time for Dominic Barlow.
Oh yeah, how can I not get enough of Barlow?
Number zero,
man.
D-Bar,
Barlow,
Dobar. I don't know what's his nickname. You think
Barlow,
D-Lo? No, that's another guy. I don't know what they're doing with Clint Capella. To answer your question,
I know.
He's survived though. He's overtaken John Collins as the ultimate Hawks survivor. This guy's been rumored in trades at deadlines and off seasons for 5 years.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
20 minutes away from the AMA, Ask Me Anything to wrap the show up. We'll get the phone lines open at 404-726-0929. You can call us up and ask us anything that you'd like. Final hour here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on a Tuesday afternoon, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Brandon Adams joins the show on Tuesdays at this time from DogNation.com, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. BA, how are you?
What up, B?
You know, I'm okay. I feel like I do this every year where, like, last week it's awesome weather. Super Bowl Sunday, perfect weather. You sort of trick yourself into thinking you live at the beach. Then all of a sudden now we're kind of back to, like, rainy, dreary weather. So I feel like I fall into this trap every year.
Yeah.
You've been living here too long to keep falling this trick, BA.
I know it.
The post-football season, like, part of February where the weather's bad, and it's like, people try to, like, convince you that it's baseball, but it's not. Like, you know, it might be, but it's not. And then, you know, maybe you're in the NBA, maybe you're not. It's football off-season is what it is.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's basically what it is. Did Sunday remind – so you got a bunch of Georgia guys on defense out there dominating in a championship game. Did Sunday remind you of anything that maybe you've seen over the last couple of years?
No, it really did, and I just loved it so much. And what I love about it is, and I've joked about this on my show a little bit, you know, it's very easy to imagine me trying to embellish this story and sort of hitch George's wagon to, you know, the Eagles' success here and, you know, sort of claim victory ourselves. But the truth is, up there, whether it be Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Rose or even Jalen Hurts, there's plenty of credit being extended to the Georgia guys here. So it was a very dominant win that sort of felt like the Nolan, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Nakobe Dean type era. But it's also one of those things where when it comes to the culture that's helped the Eagles win, there's no shortage of people up there saying, yeah, you know, these guys that came from Georgia helped bring some of that here. And honestly, I do take a lot of pride in that.
I love it. It's an awesome thing. And B.A., do you look at it from a standpoint – because I know I was never critical, but people were critical because they kept taking Georgia players. Did it seem like, you know, like Kirby has this way now that when NFL teams look at it, they want a Kirby Smart-type player?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm glad it worked, because I guess there was a point in time, you know, last year, and y'all know more about the NFL than I do, but there was a point in time last year where I guess some of that was being questioned. You know, Nick Sirianni was being questioned. Maybe all those Georgia guys they brought in was perhaps being questioned. So it's cool that one team like Philadelphia made such an open secret of their pursuit of these Georgia guys. But then when it actually does work, that's even better. And obviously, no guarantee that it would have. And like anything else in, you know, pro football, you're going to get criticized if it doesn't quite lead to a championship. But in the case of Eagles, it definitely did. And, yeah, I mean, I take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, it's great for the Eagles, obviously. It's great for Georgia, obviously. It's terrible for Falcons fans who've for years been saying, hey, take more Georgia guys. There's a lot of really good Georgia guys. Why don't you ever take Georgia guys? And my reaction to that was always like, I get it. You're a fan of both teams. I mean, there's a lot of good players around the country, and no NFL team just takes guys from one school. And then the Eagles did it and won the Super Bowl. So all the people that have been saying that for years are like, yeah, see, we've been telling you to take guys from over there. So, yeah, it's great for everybody except Falcons fans who want them to take more Georgia guys, and they still don't. With all that said, Jalen Walker and Micah Williams probably going to be there at 15. Which one of those two guys do you think they should take if they can?
With all due respect to McHale, who, if you go back and watch him against Texas, McHale Williams is amazing that day. I honestly just don't see how Jalen Walker is not an awesome pro. And I'm not a scout. People can take my, you know, opinion with a grain of salt if they'd like. You know, Jalen is so versatile in kind of the inside/outside role that as good as he was at Georgia, you always got the impression that NFL scouts liked him even more than his on-field production at Georgia would suggest. And obviously he won the Butkus Award this year. I just think, and by the way, Jalen's like the best dude in the world too. So, I mean, I just think that he is about as close to a sure thing as you can possibly get. And I do think, based on these mocks that I'm seeing, would be available, McHale Williams too, to the Falcons in that spot where they're drafting. And the sense that I get, and this is probably a weird thing, but the sense that I get is it's becoming a little bit more of a real talking point now because Philadelphia has done what they've done by specifically targeting the Georgia players.
No, it is.
Like at one point in time, saying the Falcons draft more Georgia players was, I can't think of a different way to say it, it was sort of a low-status opinion, but now it's the kind of thing that I think is being forced to be taken seriously, and I do think the vibe shift there is pretty interesting.
But yeah, I want to go back to last week, because I think it happened after our show, when we had you on last week, about this new NIL thing that's here in Georgia. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that for me?
Well, I mean, look, obviously you're competing with, you know, players in states like Tennessee and Texas and Florida that don't have state income tax. So if you're going to go play for University of Tennessee, University of Texas, University of Florida, that means your NIL payments are not going to get taxed. Well, now in Georgia, I guess you would have the benefit of saying, well, you know, here your NIL payments won't get taxed either, even though the average Georgia citizen has like 5-something% of his salary, you know, paid in state income taxes. We're going to prohibit this from happening. In and of itself, I don't think it's necessarily a game changer. I don't think it's going to change Georgia's fortunes all that much, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. But I'm also in favor of like whatever idea you can do to increase the value of the compensation offers that Georgia's making, to make them a little bit more lucrative where possible. I'll let the politics people decide if the tax policy's right or not. But in terms of finding ideas to pair with your money to make your offers a little bit more attractive, I think that's sort of the next phase of the NIL discussion one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like any school that maybe is in a state that has something like that, or like any school that might have a minor disadvantage from an NIL standpoint, will do anything they can if it means they're going to get one extra guy. It's like, if that gets us one extra 5-star guy, great, then it was worth it. We're going to try to do this and make sure that we're keeping up with the Joneses across the board. Brandon Adams joins us here from Dog Nation Daily, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Find him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. We saw Ryan Day got a big pay raise, understandably, after winning a national championship. So now it's Kirby, it's him, it's Dabo as the three highest paid, and also three coaches that have a national championship. Who's the next coach that doesn't have a national championship in college football to get one?
Well, I think the easiest answer is probably Steve Sarkisian. Now, I think that Dan Lanning's probably close. We've talked about this before, and the fact that I do think Lanning's a pretty good coach. And I think this year he had a good enough season to sort of stay in that conversation. But there's really only one coach that's been in the Final Four each of the last 2 years, and that's Steve Sarkisian in Texas. In fact, even though Ryan Day broke through and won the national title this year, I sort of think I'd probably still take Sarkisian over Day as probably the second best coach in college football. Now, as you said, the second most accomplished coach is Dabo Swinney. And I do believe he deserves credit for what he's done. And the fact they were back in the playoff again this year is no small feat. But at this point, I actually think that Sarkisian is probably just behind Kirby as the next best coach in college football. And I would say the most likely to win a national championship with the guys that haven't currently won one, and almost certainly for the rest of this calendar year ahead of next fall, going to be the head coach of the most hyped program in the sport because of Arch, because of the preseason rankings, the recruiting rankings, things like that. The hype train is really about to leave the station for Texas, and obviously we'll see if they're able to make good on all of that come the autumn.
Hey, B, I know we talked about the early signing period, but, I mean, just the fact that the February signing is, like, gone away. And I was listening to Sam and Greg this weekend, and they mentioned it. And I was like, let me ask B.A., how does he feel, and how does it feel to not have such a big deal like it used to be for that February signing day?
Yeah, I mean, I do miss it. I think it's one of those A, from the logistics of college football, I think February worked better than December does and works better than any other time they could come up with. But also it's one of those sort of pieces of pageantry, the kind of, you know, cool stuff that we like about college football that we've sort of had to make peace with kind of going away. I think the way in which a lot of the conversations sort of shifted to transfer portal and things like that has taken some of the shine off of a day like National Signing Day. I do miss it. I still think high school football recruiting is incredibly important. I just sort of miss the big holiday-type celebration we used to have for it. And you're right, like last Wednesday, you almost just forgot it was even going on because not only was Georgia not really a participant, almost nobody in America was. There was the one guy, offensive lineman, went to Michigan. Other than that, it was almost a complete, you know, absence of storylines on what used to be one of the biggest days in the college football calendar.
No doubt. Brandon, we appreciate it.
B.
Always good to be with y'all.
Brandon Adams there, Dog Nation Daily, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. And yeah, I mean, that's a part of it, unfortunately. It's kind of the byproduct of how they're trying to figure out the new reality of college football, yeah. Right? Yeah. It's like a lot of stuff that at one point was one of the biggest things.
That Wednesday, mm-hmm. That first Wednesday in February, you would just be like sitting there waiting. The kids with, you know, much as the damn hats on the table irritated the hell out of me. It was always a big thing. It really, really was. And now yeah. It's just like, because
they got to get the calendar fixed.
They got to fix it. And damn it, stop letting it. They'll be fine going in summertime. That'll be fine. That's what you're seeing here, man.
Oh, I know. Like the early enrollment stuff. I know. It's crazy. But I don't know if it's...
You can't go back.
They're not going back.
No.
Yeah, I don't think they're going back. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load up the phone lines and ask us anything you want. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Heart, right from theheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. A couple phone lines available if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. We'll start with Mike incoming. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, Mike.
All right, so my question, I guess, goes back to the Serena Williams crip walk thing.
All right, great.
So I guess that Drake mentioned her husband last fall on some sort of, like, diss track or something like that. So I guess my question is to you guys, is if you guys got called out in a diss track or rap song, would you be okay with your wife going to dance on his grave or do a crip walk? Would that change your thoughts on that?
Okay, so Mike's given a little more context, right? I guess Drake mentioned Serena's husband?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Does that change it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny that he's mentioning her.
Yeah.
And she's like doing that.
I mean, maybe I'm biased in my whole approach to this whole thing.
Oh, you are.
But like, it all just makes him look small.
Yes.
Like Drake just looks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
he just looks like a little whiner.
To me, it just seems like they, him and Serena, like broke up, but it. Something happened. I don't know what meaning.
Right,
like,
not knowing any of the details.
Like, does he not? Was he not over her? Was she not over him? But I mean, that's the thing about it. It's like, if she's going about her business, why are you messing with her about her man?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, she's just out there being married.
She's up being married.
Having babies.
Yeah. Why are you worried about her?
Killing it.
You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Why are you worried about her?
So, okay. So my bias may be there, but it's also right.
Yeah. It's like
he's just acting like
a little bit.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, because that's what it feels like with a lot of this stuff.
It does.
It's like, what is this guy's problem?
Yeah.
Like, was he just up there in Canada acting like a little blank for?
Yeah, man.
I don't understand.
There you go.
So, from that standpoint, like, I'm trying to put myself in that place of, like, so hard to use as a real life example.
Right.
Right? Okay. So, my wife has an ex-boyfriend who releases a rap album and says something about me. And she's like, you know what I'd like to do is go be a part of another performance and I can help kick dirt on
his demise.
But see,
that's what I'm saying. I don't need you to feel, but my thing.
Right, because I would just like to go punch him in the neck
myself.
Because
I'm not, because the thing about us.
Could I be a part of it
too? We ain't rappers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't no rapper. So you dissing me, we're going to have to fight.
Right, because I can't put a diss track out.
I know I can't put a diss track out.
Now, that would be very funny if Serena's husband had one song only and it was a diss track.
But we're going to have to fight. That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes, you know, talking outside, like.
Right, you can't be, again, like, I know you guys had a relationship, whatever, but you need to get over it. She's moved on. She's married.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're going to talk bad about her. Again, I don't know what he said. I didn't even know Drake and Serena had a past. Like, this is all new information to me.
Right.
You can't be making diss songs about her and me.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to have to.
Like, we're having beautiful babies. You'd have moved on about 20 other different
women. Get a life.
Women. Move on.
Get a life.
Move on.
Yeah. But no, all that said, I think it's really funny that Serena did what she did. Like, she clearly wanted to be a part of it.
I never paid attention. I she's dancing.
I didn't know that there was that. Yeah. Serena's there. She's from Compton, too, like Kendrick is. That's cool. The other thing that's kind of funny, too, is, like, you know, in 2025, you just do radio shows sometimes, and people call up and ask questions about crip walking.
Yes. And how they call it that.
Like, that's...
Yes.
That's pretty amazing that's just become such a part of... pop culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're just seawalking. Like, yeah, I guess. Like, you know what I mean?
I know exactly.
It's kind of funny. All right. Exactly, George is in Stone Mountain. Hey, George.
Gentlemen. First, I want to ask, I got an opinion. I want to see whether you
George.
Agree or not agree.
Bye, George.
Then
bye,
I
George.
Have a question.
Bye, George. Bye, George.
Too long. No, Tim's in Smyrna.
Nobody understand, George.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Hey, Andy Brady. I appreciate that last little segment y'all had with BA. You know, just I call in once a month complaining that the Falcons don't take enough Georgia players, right? Randy, I watched you live in Sanford Stadium. I've been going out there my whole life, season ticket or both. But I don't really have a question, just want to throw some stats. So since 1966, the Falcons have only drafted 12 in UGA players.
Yeah.
But, Andy, I want to give you credit. Because you never brag, you never come back to any of this. The Falcons have 4 current Huskies on the roster, even the starting quarterback. And you never gloat, so I just want to take your lap. You're so humble about it, but that is 1/3 of the amount of dogs that the Falcons have drafted.
That's hilarious.
And I don't really, you know, just that's it. Maybe name the players that from the Huskies. But yeah, appreciate it, guys.
There's some Huskies. I mean, you got Kevin King, obviously. Mm-hmm. Great story. Love seeing him get a chance.
Yep.
Throughout the season, obviously Penix.
Mm-hmm.
Trice will be there.
Yes, he will.
Hopefully, and he'll hopefully be a big part of the pass rush. And then Caleb McGarry, who I don't know what his future is, but he's under contract and he's the right tackle for now. So Caleb McGarry is on the team too.
There you go.
I don't know. Why would I gloat? What would I gloat about?
I don't know. But
I am really, really happy that Michael Penix is the quarterback.
Yes,
I'm super excited to cover Michael Penix.
This is going to be, we talked about you. Like your school, you love your school.
The
players that went there. But the Michael Penix thing of this is going to be a funny, fun dynamic.
Yeah, no, they better.
Yes,
they better get good.
It's going to be a funny, fun dynamic.
Or else I'm going to be on their ass.
Yes, because I know my boy. And I know my boy. You got that face. I'm like, here we go.
Because I think we've been pretty.
Yes.
I think we've been pretty honest and fair.
Yes.
And also critical at times when necessary of their team building. Well, now they got our guy playing quarterback.
Yeah, man.
So
it's gonna be. It's gonna be a fun, interesting dynamic.
Get this ship right. That was with a P.
Yes.
At the end of it.
I already know how it's
going to
be.
Better write this ship.
I already know how it's going to be.
Don't ruin this guy's career. All right? Don't do it. All right. Richard is in Noonan. Hey, Richard.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's funny how the freaking halftime show is the whole talk of this Super Bowl because it was that boring. But I have to I got to call up Moan with you guys because, look, Eminem did the same thing Mariah Carey. People do it all the time. I think this is called, to me, the Drake Hate Super Bowl show. And I think that people just ride. They just kind of riding Kendrick right now because he's hot. He's a great artist, you know, probably one of the best as far as introspective lyrics. But I'm just so sick of the Kendrick glazing, man. It's just.
Are you a Drake? Are you a Drake guy? Are you a Drake guy?
I'm a hip hop fan. I love Drake. Look, I'm gonna tell you something. My daughter put me on to Kendrick about 10 years ago, and I'm like, this guy's great. Great, but right. I think people in the media just get on people so hard sometimes. Like the whole Cat Williams thing for 10 months. Cat Williams was God,
right?
And now he's back down to earth. Now Kendrick is God right now.
Right.
I feel like this right here. People hate Drake. And for decent reasons, you know, whatever. But to me, I think Kendrick's message was lost because it was so much emphasis on Drake.
I agree with that. Okay. I agree with that.
I don't want Kendrick to be known as Drake, the Drake person or whatever. I want him to be known for all the stuff he's done.
Oh, no doubt.
I totally agree with that, Richard. I think that's 100% right. And I think I've said that. I've certainly said that in my life. I think we've said it on the radio. Like, Kendrick Lamar's career
is not a song.
Is phenomenal.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And if this never happened, Kendrick Lamar's career would is still be phenomenal.
Yes.
Now, you know, lightning in a bottle with a beef. People love a beef. I mean, it's always been true. It may be more true now. Drama sells. We get it. I'm surprised genuinely at how easy it was for seemingly everyone to just jump on the anti-Drake thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize so many people didn't like Drake.
I didn't either. Like, I didn't either.
It was like, dang, that was easy.
Yeah, I didn't
like,
either.
That was a surprise
to
me.
I didn't either, but I saw something, and Boosie was dead ass right about this. If I'm Drake, I'm not getting on none of y'all crap.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
I did my man Khaled. No.
Yeah.
No.
I've been sitting here getting
my ass whipped.
And nobody said anything.
And nobody said nothing.
Yeah, I thought we were buddies.
And now y'all, on some of y'all biggest songs of y'all career, I was on it.
It's true.
I'm not coming back. Y'all kiss my ass.
No, I know.
I would have done the same thing.
There's so many people that he has made so much money with.
Yes.
And also, be honest, for.
Yes.
Helped them make money that just sat there and were like,
dude, did you see?
Sucks to be you.
I love this. Kevin Durant. They asked Kevin Durant what he thought of. Kevin Durant said, basically, whack.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl. Like, this whack. I love that. If you're going to, because you know, I'm about loyalty. And I don't know. I think something happened with him, and LeBron, before this pop up. This thing that happened. Remember the Kendrick pop up, and LeBron was there. And that, I think it was something before that happened between him and Drake.
Who? LeBron and Drake?
Yeah, I think something happened before then. But yeah, if I'm Drake,
God, the other part of it too.
If I'm Drake,
is like,
you damn right, I ain't doing no damn hooks or nothing on your stuff. No,
I just like, you know, the reason you like people's music is because of the music,
right?
Right? Like maybe you like them as a person. Yeah. Maybe they're from where you're from. Right. You know, there's a lot of different reasons, but like, I liked his music because I heard it and it was awesome. And I like listening to it. It was really good. I don't care who dated who. I don't care who dissed who at the awards show.
I can't analyze it that much.
I'm not. Yeah. Like, I just really like the music that these people make.
Yeah.
And the drama of it is so lame to me. It's so lame. But I also get that that's what sells.
Right.
And like, I get that. And I don't blame him for riding it to the money that he's made off of it and all that. I am hopeful that that was it. You know what I mean? That Sunday was it, and now Kendrick kind of goes back to being, you know, the artist that he was before, who just made really good songs and, you know, kind of hung out with his family and didn't say a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all the TMZ BS is so lame.
There you
it's
go.
So bad. All right, Tom's in Marietta. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
I had a Kendrick question, but I, since the last caller brought it up, I might just switch gears.
Okay.
Hypothetical question. Would you rather be built like Georges Niang, but 50 pounds heavier, but have unlimited shooting ability, or be built like Myles Garrett and just be a regular person?
Interesting. It's interesting. So George is a big fella. They call him the minivan.
Yes, they do. Now, he's playing.
So you got 50 more.
But though, what I'm saying is, but he's NBA fat.
Yeah, right.
I would not want to be looking like Myles Garrett walking around Lenox Mall. No, I don't. I'm sorry.
But, like, you still get ladies if you look like
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, dude.
Like, you're buff like
dude,
that.
I'm just, whatever.
You go to the beach, whatever. you take your shirt off.
That was always the thing. Like, when you saw, like, that dude that's, like that dude is, like, 6'7 working at T-Mobile, you'd be like, damn.
Right, you must be really uncoordinated.
How you gonna, give me that damn height.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Give me that damn height. You 6'9 and work, yeah.
No, but yeah, if I'm in the NBA.
Yeah, if I'm in the NBA,
I'll be what they say, ESPN says George is 6'7, 230.
So add 20.
I don't buy that. So add 20 and then 50. Yeah. So 300. So you're 6'7, 300. But you can shoot.
Man.
And you're in the league.
I'll take it, dog.
Yeah.
Because you know how much that Oliver Miller got looking like that?
Yeah. Big O?
Big O, Oliver Miller.
Because that's how he was built.
That's how he was
built.
That's
exactly how big he was.
He stayed eyebrows in it.
He made it sound like you'd be one of the league's best shooters, too.
Unlimited shooting.
Unlimited shooting?
Size irrelevant. You know, that's $40 million a year.
Yeah, dude. Yes. You're a dead-eye three-point shooter right now.
I remember Oliver. Yeah.
Yeah.
I look like. Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yes.
Plus, it means you just get to eat all the time. You don't have to be dieting.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Then you get traded by the Mavs at 24 years old.
Do you think that George Niang, well, he can, but like how, like what's the coolest dunk George Niang can do?
Oh, he's
I was going to say he can dunk, but if he was in the dunk contest and he had to do his best dunk.
He's a one-hand guy.
He can't like throw it off the backboard?
I don't think so.
He can do the thing where it bounces off the ground because that actually kind of helps you.
Maybe a trampoline. Maybe he uses a trampoline to dunk.
Nah, he can dunk. I've seen him dunk in games. But like,
he get flashy with it, though.
But you never know, man. I mean, he might take off and that thing with twin his legs. And
like the full neek?
Like the full.
Bring it down?
Yeah, like a Harrimony. Remember how Harold's bringing
dude,
that thing
Harold, down? Harold brought that thing so far down.
Yes.
And then dunked it over his shoulder.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Maybe I think he could do that.
I don't. Okay. All right, final question here. Dan's in Atlanta. Okay. Hey, Dan.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Pretty good.
Yeah, so I know we're coming off the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and I'm not saying this because I'm a Falcons fan, but New Orleans is probably one of my least favorite cities as far as hosting the Super Bowl.
Why?
So I'm just wondering, what are y'all top three? I'm sorry?
Why?
Just because it seems like it's only one thing to do. Like, once you leave the French Quarter, like, that's it.
Hmm. Oh, God, you got Bo, like, making all kind of faces right now behind the glass.
And Bo has your phone
number.
And Bo has
your phone
number. He's going to track you down,
but no,
Dan.
I think
thank you, Dan. We'll answer.
I definitely disagree with you. And everybody in the NFL that's ever been to an experience of the NFL at New Orleans, everybody says good things.
Honestly, I enjoy like the production of it on television is great. Because you get to use all the music.
Yes, everybody loves it. I say New Orleans. I'd say the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And call it Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, those are my three.
Yeah, I mean, you can rotate those three. Put it in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Do New Orleans, Miami. Do New Orleans,
like,
Atlanta, and L.A.
Like, everybody loves the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Yeah.
They just love it.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say that before.
Now, he said he was a Falcons fan.
Yeah, that was a little bit of Falcons, which is fine. Falcons bias, there's nothing wrong with that. What about the three worst Super Bowl cities? Detroit. For sure.
Yes.
Definitely
Minnesota.
One of the worst. Minnesota.
Where they're having it next year.
Brutal.
Santa Clara.
I hate Santa Clara.
Yeah.
And I hate that state.
Santa Clara sucks. It's not close to anything.
It sucks.
It's not San Francisco. It's very far from San Francisco.
It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. It's really far. What else? It's terrible. Any other bad ones?
No.
No? All right. Let's get takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day. Andy regrets peeing on that dork's grass.
I do.
And he said variety is something. I don't remember.
The spice of life.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, you got to spice it up. Randy, speaking of that, no potpourri, no incense.
No, sir.
He's not spicing it up like that.
No spicing up. There's not a lot of downtime in the life of a miserable Falcons fan. Sometimes you might even poke fun at Super Bowl hosting cities for no reason. If you have on the same family reunion shirt, leave her alone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Always question the 6'8 guy working at T-Mobile.
I'm just sorry. That was just a thing when I was growing up.
Maybe he used to play.